So new sugya today. Again, I'm not saying shir tomorrow, but this sugya is going to take us more than a day because there's a lot to cover over here. This is the sugya of David and Achitofel. Just to mention as a PS from the last sugya, the last thing we discussed was Kilalas Chacham. I just heard a recording of Shechter thought that the idea of a difference between a Kilalas Chacham versus Kilalas Hedyo, it doesn't say about Kilalas Hedyo, just about Kilalas Chacham, is that whereas by Bracha we say that even a Birchas Hedyo, I'll take Alabeinecha, is that even though a Hedyo is Yodea Levarech, but a Klala is only Chala Yodea Chacham, but a Klala could be Chal even Betaus, because the Chalos of a Bracha, the Chalos of a Klala, has nothing to do with the das of the person giving the bracha and the klal. It's an important ha'ara I probably should have mentioned last time. That when you give a bracha, what, I'm empowered to make something good for you or bad for you? I'm not the Ribon Shalom, I'm not empowered to do anything. So the Gemara says, when the Kohanim are Mevarich, they're saying the words, but the chalos of the bracha has to come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's Ani Avarachim, it's Hashem that's making the bracha actually happen. So even though the words are coming from the Kohanim, the bracha, the chalos, comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, said Rav Shechter, that explains the idea of Birchas Hedyot, of Klala Al Tanai, because the relative das of the person who's giving the bracha is almost irrelevant, because it's the chalos is anyway not coming from the person. The chalos is coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Anyway, so that was just to finish up that. But I want to discuss today, and probably next time also, the sugya of David and Achitofel. What sugya of David and Achitofel? In the context of showing that a kilalas chacham, afilu al tanai, and afilu b'chinam applies, the Gemara says in the last 7-8 lines of Daf Yiral Vam Aleph, how do we know it? Me Achitofel. Shebishah shekara David shisin, when David was digging the shisin by the Mizbeach, which is a whole separate kasha. Well, what was David doing digging a Mizbeach? When exactly in history did this happen? Where was the Mizbeach? It was in the Beis HaMikdash. Where was the Beis HaMikdash? It was in a piece of land during David's lifetime that was owned by Arvana Hayavusi. David HaMelech had to buy it from Arvana Hayavusi. And David HaMelech, and by the time David HaMelech bought it from Arvana Hayavusi, historically, Achitofel was dead already. So it's difficult to know when this story happened. What was he doing digging around Arvana's property? All right, Kasha that the Achronim deal with. Anyway, B'shah Shekar David Shisin, when David was digging the Shisin, Kafa Tahoma, Bol Mishtav Alialma. The depths wanted to come and sink the whole world and flood the whole world. Amar Ma'u Lichtov Shema Chaspo, Mishtav Betoma, Deleko Aduchtei. So David asked the Shaila, am I allowed to write the Shema Hashem on a Chaspa, on a shard of pottery, throw it into the Tahom, and that will cause it to settle down? No one was able to say anything. Omar, so David HaMelech said, Kalayodea David Zevena Omro, Yechanek Vegrono. Anyone who knows this and doesn't tell me should choke. Nosach Kitovel Kalbachom Ratzmos. Kitovel said, how am I going to answer this Shaila? Are you allowed to erase the Shem Hashem to save all of humanity? How can we answer such a Shaila, such a difficult Shaila? So he says, I have a Kalbachomer. If to make shalom bayis between a man and his wife, the name of Hashem that was nichtav al kedusha could be erased for that purpose. So to make shalom in the entire world, all the more so you can erase the shem Hashem. And therefore, amalei shari. So Achitofel tells David it's mutter. Does it? He writes it down, throws it into the to home, and it settles down, and the world isn't flooded. Everyone lives happily ever after, except for Achitofel. He doesn't live happily ever after. Much later on, Achitofel realizes that although he's advising the rebellion against David, and he's advising Avshalom, but he realizes that his advice is not being followed. And one thing Achitofel knew about himself is that he was a brilliant advisor, and that if you follow his advice, you will succeed, and if you do not follow his advice, you will fail. And he realized that his advice was not being listened to, so he knew that the rebellion would fail, but he had already put his stake in the ground in rebelling against David, so he knew, therefore, that he was Morid B'Malchus, and that as soon as this rebellion fails, David HaMelech is going to have him killed. So Achitofel hangs himself, he commits suicide. So that's the story of Achitofel. So he was Yechanik Begrono, he choked to death in the end because of that curse of David HaMelech. So many kashas on what's going on over here on this story. First of all, David HaMelech couldn't answer the shaila. Which avera are you allowed to violate the avera of erasing the Shem Hashem in order to save the lives of all of humanity, or at least all of Eretz Yisrael? So Nu, what's the answer to that shaila? You don't need to be David HaMelech. What averas are you allowed to do in order to save a life? All of them, except for three. So, except for Avod Zor, Gilur HaShuch Damim, maybe also not Malbim Pnei Chaver Barabim, maybe Gneva, okay, Rashi, Tosfos, and Baba Kama. So there's what to discuss, maybe there are a couple of others. But essentially, it's three. There are three that you're not allowed to violate in order to save a life. How did David HaMelech not know the answer to that question? Come on, it's, you know, it's an easy one. Tinok, you know, Barbe Rav Dechad Yoma knows that that Pikuach Nefesh Docha Kala Torah Kula. How is it possible that he didn't know? Second question, is this even the Aver of Mechikas Hashem? This seems to be Gram Mechikas Hashem. He's not erasing the Shem Hashem, he's taking a shard that has the Shem Hashem written on it, and he's throwing it into the water. The water may have the effect of erasing the Shem, but that's not something that he's doing. He's putting it in an environment where it will get erased ultimately, slowly will fade, but he's not actually erasing the Shem Hashem. So why is that? Is that an issue? Is that an issue of Gram Mechikas Hashem? This is an important issue Allah Lamaisa in certain situations. Is a tshuva Rav Maisha has about if you a guy achola with an illness that's very contagious, and he's being quarantined, and he has to, whatever he brings into quarantine has to get burnt. Wherever he's good, whatever he brings with him is going to have to be destroyed, and he's got to be there for 30 days. So he wanted to know, is it mutter to bring his tefillin? If he brings his tefillin, he'll be able to do the mitzvah tefillin for those 30 days, but everything that goes in is going to get burnt. He's not going to be burning it. He's just bringing the tefillin into the room. Someone else is going to take all the stuff in a hazmat suit or something and burn everything. A guy is going to come and do all the burn. So is that a violation of Mechikas Hashem? Gram Mechikas Hashem, is Gram Mechikas Hashem even prohibited? This is a sugya that comes up again later on in the Masechta, the issue of Gram Mechikas Hashem. The third issue is it a violation of Mechikas Hashem? Forget about the fact that it's done on the Gram, you're only writing the Shem Hashem so that you could then erase it. I mean, David HaMelech was only doing it to then erase it, to then throw it in the water. Does a Shem have Kedusha if you have no intention whatsoever of treating it b'kedusha? Meaning, the halacha is, Sefer Torah shekasvu min. If an apikoros writes a Sefer Torah, you know what you do with such a Sefer Torah? You burn it. Doesn't have any kedusha whatsoever. It's not the formation of the ink on paper or on parchment of the Yudke Vavke that grants it kedusha. It needs to be written the shame kedusha also. Otherwise, it's not going to have kedusha. So is something that's meant to be erased immediately, can that be given Kedusha? Is it's very, the very temporary nature of it, enough maybe, to say that it shouldn't be an issue? Now it sounds from this Gemara that it is an issue, but this is something that's worth discussing and seeing what the Marmakomos are. So Tshuva the Netziv has, in Chelet Pei's Meshav Davar, Simen Pei, where he suggests that anything that you're just writing for a short period of time, and it's meant to be destroyed shortly thereafter, it doesn't have Kedusha, it's never granted any sense of Kedusha. Even if in that short period of time you're using it for holy purposes, still doesn't have Kedusha. Fourth issue, that's an ancillary issue really, is the Kal v'chomer Achitofel derived was from the fact that we're mochik Shem Hashem for Shalom Bayis. How far do we extend that din? Meaning, can we apply that din to other places? To be mochik Shem Hashem, does that mean we could also be motzi Shem Shemayim levatala? That we could, you know, violate other isurim that are also a chilul Hashem l'shem Shalom Bayis? To what degree do we assume something is called Shalom Bayis? In this case, it was to save a marriage because the woman's an isha sota, she's asura labayla. Would it also be called Shalom Bayis if it was just a matter of stopping people from fighting? Right, would that be called Shalom Bayis? For example, the famous Shaila, I was once talking to Mori Varabi Rav Silver from Keren B'Yavna. So Rav Blachman was here today, so we'll talk about Keren B'Yavna a little bit. So I was talking to Rav Silver once. I remember when, right after I got married, my wife and I went to Israel, and I brought my wife to meet Rav Silver in Har Nov. And he said that someone had asked him this shaila, that a woman is a balas tshuva. She became balas tshuva as an adult after college. So in college, she lived the secular college lifestyle that unfortunately is very prevalent in our morally degraded society. And she got pregnant, and she had a very late-term abortion, maybe, or something. I'm not sure. Maybe she even had a baby and gave it up for adoption. I'm not sure exactly what happened. I don't know what happened exactly. And now she's a balas tshuva, and she's married to a fine yeshiva bachur, kollel guy, whatever, and she's pregnant. And they're going to have or they just had a baby boy, maybe. And now the husband's all excited about pidyon haben. He's going to do a pidyon haben. But this baby's not a petarechem. But she never told her husband about her whole history. In general, when you become a bal tshuva and then you get married, it's not a great idea to go through every gory detail. You say, I'm a bal tshuva. They'll figure out what that means. But to go through every gory detail of every aver you did, every guy she had been with, no, you don't want to get into that. You're going to get into his head. Why would you? So she never told him that, and she said if he finds out, he's going to hit the roof. If he finds, it's going to destroy our marriage. If he finds out that there was a baby once, that there was a late term abortion, he's not going to be able to wrap his mind around it. It's going to be terrible. Right, so what's the big deal? Let him give a few slime to the five shekel to the kohen. What's the big deal, right? So what's the big deal? He's not just going to give 5 shekel to the kohen. He's going to say a bracha, 2 brachas. Shachyanu also. So he's going to say brachas. It's going to be bracha levatala. Because he's not chayvim pidyon haben. It's not a petarechem. So Rav Silver said that he knew the answer right away, but he told the woman to go to Rav Chaim Pichel Scheinberg to ask, because he was afraid to say it. And Rav Scheinberg said exactly what he would have said. Rav Scheinberg said, Gadol Shalom, that we're mochik, the Shem Hashem, for Shalom Bayis. So you could be Motzi Shem Shemaim in the Bracha Levatala for the sake of Shalom Bayis. Very sharp, but very questionable also, no? The case in the Gemara was that she was going to be Asura Labayla. In this case, she wasn't going to be Asura Labayla. Okay, the husband will get over it. He'll get mad about a lot of things in life, you know? That she's being too critical of him, and whatever the Taina's husbands have of their wives, you know. That so okay, he'll get angry about things, and then he'll pull himself together, and he'll get over it. Is that the same? Shalom Bayis is the same. Every Shalom Bayis case is the same. And is being mochek the Shem Hashem the same as a bracha levatala? Bracha levatala is not nearly as severe of an issur. Bracha levatala is only nisid rabbanon. Machlok shusharim paskin nisid rabbanon. Same nisid daraisa. Right, so what to discuss over there also. Rav Avadia has a tshuva about it, Tzitzel Yezer has a tshuva about it, they all discuss. So these are the 4 issues that I want to talk about when approaching this sugya. So let's start with the first one. David and Achitofel, Pikuach Nefesh. How could it be that David didn't know the halacha that every bar be rav dechad yoma knows that Pikuach Nefesh is docha kala Torah kula, except for Avodah Zarah Gilei Arayos? So one possibility that the Achronim discuss, this Gemara, by the way, does not only appear here, it appears at the end of Maseches Sukkah. So if it sounds familiar to you, and you remember learning Maseches Sukkah once upon a time, so that's why it sounds familiar. Yeah, so the Gemara at the end of Sukkah has the... What? Oh, okay, good. So, in DRS, were you in DRS when we did Sukkah?
Yeah.
Okay. So we did this, right. So the Gemara over there, the Achronim over there talk about this. And one of the suggestions that's made is that you're allowed to violate an Isser to save a life when the Isser clearly saves a life. Meaning you need to get someone to the hospital or else they're going to die. So driving in car on Shabbos to get someone to the hospital to save their life is very clear in the Olam HaTeva, how driving that person to the hospital is going to save their life, right? But when the whole Hatzalah is Biderech Skula, it's not as clear that you're allowed to violate Isurim to do a Hatzalah Biderech Skula. Is that called Pikuach Nefesh? When you're not doing a Biderech HaTeva, you're only doing a Biderech HaSkula. What is this? You throw a Shem Hashem into the water and the waters go down? What is that all about? That's not in the Olam HaTeva. This is something that happens with Derech Skula. It happens to be the case of Sota that he brought a Kal V'chomer from is pretty much the only Skula in all of Halacha. It's the only time the Torah says, here's a miracle, rely on it. This miracle is going to happen. It's wild. It's Chad B'mino. You don't have in all of Taryag Mitzvahs like that. That we're being told to rely on a miracle. There's no logical explanation why if a woman is guilty, drinking water with an erased Shem Hashem is going to cause her stomach to implode. And if she's innocent, it's going to give her a bracha that she doesn't have children. It's an ace. But the Torah says, rely on it. So it happens to be that it's b'derech sekula that we save the marriage also. But still, that still doesn't, right, that's not this positive of this. Just some achronim suggest that maybe pikuach nefesh is dochakol haTorah kula, that's when the pikuach nefesh can actually save a life in a direct way. But when the pikuach nefesh is only b'derech sekula, maybe it's not going to be dochakol haTorah kula. That's what the Klei Chemda writes in Parshas Pinchas, based on the comment of the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos in Yuma, in the 8th Parak of Yuma. I think I gave you the Rambam. I didn't give you the Klei Chemda, but the Rambam writes this way in source number 2. That whenever we talk about Hatzala, he writes, he writes, V'chacham momrim, ein over mal mitzvah, ela beripoy bilvad, shu davar barur, if you have a tried and tested therapy that will work, you're allowed to violate an avera to implement that therapy. But to be merapa with skulos, Says the Rambam, says to start violating averos because you want to give a refuah with the b'derech skula, can't do that. That's not if you can't find it in any medical book, then that's not a proper refuah beduka that could be implemented. If you look at the Tshuvas HaRashba in several places, Siman Kuf Samach Zayin, Siman Tav Tav Chaf Hey, Siman Tav Yud Gimel, Tshuvas HaRashba seems to say otherwise. Seems to assume that b'derech skula, he says, yesh skula shalo noda ikarin lekol bali ateva ki kameh shal ikarin kriyas avena yiroka hanikris ishtopasi. There are certain schools at work that we can't really explain. Ve'lecha rochok min ateva milacha shavriri veriri. Is that in Sukkah also? What does the Gemara say that? Is that in brachas? When the shade attacks you, so you say shavriri beriri riri, right? And he slowly goes away. You say some sort of incantation. Vaval bikeni tiru chacham v'adya b'os neshim b'gemara, and it's not a violation of Darkei Amori. So the Rashba seems to buy into the skulas a little bit more, and he says the Gemara is full of them. You know, there are all sorts of times in the Gemara where we use therapies that aren't really medical therapies. So then why should we differentiate? It's a story they tell of, I don't know what town it was, but in a town in Europe where a guy, some Hasidic Shtetl somewhere in Europe, where a guy was dying, was very ill, and it was Shabbos, and the Rebbe was in the next town over. And they felt that the only thing that was going to save him was a tefillah from the Rebbe, from whichever Rebbe it was. So they went to the post office and they asked a guy to go on horseback to go to the next town. So it was Amir Lakub to go to the next town to tell the Rebbe to daven for them. And the Dayan Paskin that was okay, that they could do that. Because it's Pikuach Nefesh. So Amir Lakub for Pikuach Nefesh. For sure you're allowed to do it. So he went to tell the Rebbe to daven for them and they fired the Dayan. Pikuach Nefesh, B'derech Skula is not Pikuach Nefesh. If he's not doing a B'derech HaTeva, it's B'derech Skula for a Rebbe to daven for you. That's not, you look in all the medical journals. It doesn't say that getting a particular Rebbe to daven for you is going to be what's going to heal your illness. It may be what does it, but it's Bederach Skula. Rav Shach said that Rav Salvechik told that story, and a little bit surprisingly, I guess, Rav Salvechik said that he heard from his grandfather, from Rav Chaim, that he thought it was mutter in that case. He thought it would be mutter even to violate an Issa Daraisa. He thought Bederach Skula would be mutter. Pekuach Nefesh Bederach Skula would be mutter. So anyway, that's one possibility. Another possibility that the Velt suggests as to why David HaMelech couldn't just figure this out, because after all it's Pekuach Nefesh. Even if you say Pekuach Nefesh is Docha Kol Torah Kula, even Bederach Skula, it could be that Mechikas Hashem is worse. What do we say? Pekuach Nefesh is Docha Kol Torah Kula Chutz Mei Avodah Zarah Shvi'us Dam Megillah Rayos, right? What else? Is there any other situation that we say Yaharig Val Yavar? Where else do we say Yaharig Val Yavar? So I mentioned a couple of other potentials. Malm Pnech Aver Bram, stealing. But are there any situations where even other Averos are going to become Yaharig Val Yavar? What? Farhesya, Shas Hashmad, Chil Hashem. These would turn an Avera into a Yaharig Val Yavar. One could argue that Mechikas Hashem isn't Stam and Isser, it's Chil Hashem. And Chil Hashem is no Heter of Pekuach Nefesh. Chil Hashem is not only in public. If you Mechal Hashem, it's even in private. It's just that any other Avera that you do before Hesya itself becomes a Chil Hashem. But if you're doing actual Chil Hashem, then even if you do it privately, right? The reason Farhesya becomes Yarek Val Yavar is because when you do Shatnis b'Farhesya, Memela becomes a Chil Hashem. But it's Chil Hashem is the rule, that once it is a Chil Hashem, that becomes Yarek Val Yavar. So you do Chil Hashem by being Mochek Hashem Hashem. And maybe that was David HaMelech's Safek. Does this rise to the level of Chil Hashem that would then make it Yarek Val Yavar? Or is it not Chil Hashem? Where do we talk about this? Chil Hashem. So these are all sugis Masech Sanhedrin. In Perek Ben Sarah, Dafayin Gimelay, and Dalit. I think I put it in the Mar Makomos here somewhere. Stami, you look around, you'll find it in the Mar Makomos. I'm missing half my pages here. But it's in here somewhere. There we go. Here's the rest of my pages. Yeah, if you look in source number 12, let's say. Kiyasar of Dimi Yom Rabbi Yochanan. Lo shanu ela shalo b'shas hashmad. When do we say, kol ha-Torah kula is yavar val yaharig? That's shalo b'shas hashmad. Av b'shas hashmad afilu mitzvah kal yaharig val yavar. Kiyasar Rav Yom Rabbi Yochanan afilu shalo b'shas hashmad lo amral b'tzina. Av b'farhesya afilu mitzvah kal yaharig val yavar. Even a mitzvah kala. What does a mitzvah kala mean? If you are aks the masani, even the types of shoe style that you wear. So why is that? That's because of Chil Hashem. And the Gemara on Pei Beis Amud Aleph, later on in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, talking about Pinchas and Kanoim Poginbo. So Pinchas didn't know the halacha, or Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the halacha. And he said, what do we do in this situation with this guy who's being bold, this girl, what do we do? So Pinchas said, remember, Achi Avi Abba, lo kach li matateini berid tcha me'ar Sinai. Didn't you teach me when he came down from Ar Sinai, habo alas anachris kanoim pogin bo? Amar lo, so what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Karyu nadigra sayu lavi parvanka. You're the one that said it, you're the one that taught the halacha, so you're the one that should implement it. You take the risk and implement it if you're the one that said the halacha. I'm not going to commit murder. Shmuel Amar Re'ei Shein Chachma Vein Tvuna Vein Eitzel Neger Hashem Kol Makom Sheyesh Chil Hashem In Cholk In Kavod the Rav. When there's Chil Hashem, we forget everything else. Everything else falls away. In Cholk In Kavod the Rav. I said Allah is Kavod Abriel says Docha Afilu Lo Seseh Shabbatara. What does the Gemara say? It doesn't really mean Lo Seseh Shabbatara. It means Lav Mit Rabbanah. But a lav midar raisa? No way. Kavod is not docha. In chachma, in tvuna, in etzah neged Hashem. The kavod of the Ribbono Shel Olam is non-negotiable. So that's the answer that the Velt says. That's what David HaMelech is Mesubach about. So again, so on the Pikuach Nefesh issue, a couple of possibilities. Either that there's a difference between Hatzalah B'derech HaTeva versus Hatzalah B'derech Segula, or that is a question of how much of a Chil Hashem it is. Next issue we want to get into, at least begin today, and this is going to be the biggest one, this is going to be by far the longest discussion, is Guram Mechikas Hashem. Where does this come up later in Makos? Is it Tavchav Beis or so? No? I don't remember. Comes up again later on. You'll trust me. Gram Mechikas Hashem. So the Gemara says that apparently he was worried about violating Mechikas Hashem. The Aruch Lener in Sukkah, Dafrin Gimel, says, wait a second, didn't Moshe Rabbeinu do the same thing? But Klal Yisrael, what does the Pasuk say? That Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs, right? That someone who is wise is going to chase after mitzvahs. A wise person chases after mitzvahs. And Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu, everyone else was going and collecting the money from Mitzrayim. And what was Moshe Rabbeinu doing? Collecting the Atzmus Yosef. How did he collect the Atzmus Yosef? Says the Medrash. He took the Shem Hashem and he threw it into the water. And the Atzmus Yosef rose from the water. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu ask the Shaila? How am I allowed to do it? And you know what the answer would have been? According to our Gemara, probably no. Because what was the answer to David? Why are you allowed to do it? Because you're saving humanity. Shalom Einish Lishto is at least worth as much. Is Kavura Beretz Yisrael worth as much as Shalom Einish Lishto? Probably not. It's not save time Pikuach Nefesh, that's for sure. Yosef is already deceased for many years. So the Aruch Lener asks Akasha, how could Moshe Rabbeinu write the Shem Hashem to be Mala Aron Shel Yosef? So he quotes from the Zeis Ra'anan that Gram Mechika is Mutter. Great, but if Gram Mechika is Mutter, then it should be Mutter in our Gemara also. Why was David HaMelech bothered by this in the first place? And okay, even if David HaMelech is going to ask Akasha, so Rashi says, David HaMelech knew the answer to the kasha. He just, Rashi says in Sukkah, he knew the answer to the kasha, or maybe here. He knew the answer to the kasha, he just didn't want to say it because he didn't want to be more halacha b'fnei rabo in front of Achitofel. So he made Achitofel say it. But Achitofel gave the wrong answer then. He should have had a much simpler answer. Instead of coming, a kavachomer, misota, Achitofel should have said, what are you talking about? You're not violating anything. It's just gram mechika. The Achronim also asked, the Sugi and Shabbos, Tav Kufchach. Gemara talks about, do I have that in the Mar Mekomas here? Shabbos Kufchach. Hayashem Kosov al Basara. Gemara talks about. Four. Haresh Hayashem Kosov al Basara. You had the name of Hashem written on your skin. You're not allowed to bathe with it, you're not allowed to rub oil on it, and you're not allowed to stand in a dirty place with it. Why? So bathing and rubbing oil on it, because it's going to erase the Shem Hashem, right? Standing in a dirty place, what's the problem with that? What's the problem with standing in a dirty place? It's a lack of cover to the Shem Hashem. So Allah, you're not allowed to tashmish amit if there's svarim in the room. You're not supposed to change and be completely unclothed in front of a Shem Hashem. So it's a bizayin to the Shem. Someone just asked me, Shaila, last week, a woman owns one of these gift shops. You know, where you're a Shabbos gift or something, you want to buy something a little nicer than just a candy bowl or something. So she sells like these nice gifts that you could, when you're invited out for Shabbos or whatever. So she gets different kinds of things. So she has a thing that's a mezuzah cover, that the mezuzah case itself is made up of the osios of Shema. So it says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, on the mezuzah cover. And she sold a couple of them. And a woman calls her up and says, my rabbi told me this is no good, I can't have this in my bedroom. Why can't she have it in her bedroom? What was the rabbi thinking? Because she's going to cover it. She's going to change her clothes in front of it. So they have Shem Hashem on it. She's going to be changing in front of it. In front of the Shem Hashem. She's designed to the Shem Hashem. It's Malkum Atinofes. So some of the Achronim say, some of the Postum suggest, no, it's only if you're changing, taking off all your clothing. But if you're just changing and you're leaving undergarments on or whatever, then that's not a problem in front of the Shem Hashem. So be careful that when you're only going to take off all your clothing in the bathroom, you know, then it would be okay. Well, I thought the rabbi was wrong anyway. Picture your bedroom for a second. The mezuzah is on the outside of the door. Almost always. It's very rare that the mezuzah is on the inside. So as long as you're decent enough to close your door when you change, which I think most people... It's a question of tznius, whether you should ever be taking off all your clothing only in your bedroom. I was driving to Baltimore with Rabbi Klapholz. We were listening to a question and answer session that Rabbi Willig did in every single yeshiva in Israel, where every yeshiva asked the same questions over. But it was funny to listen to him. So Rabbi Willig in one of them said that he's a big makel. He doesn't think you have to be so tznua when you're in the bathroom. When you're in the bathroom, you could be totally undressed. But outside of the bathroom, he doesn't think you should ever be totally undressed. You should have a basic, decent, you know, sense of decency and sneeze. So anyway, wouldn't be. But that's lo yamok went to the office. But that's how we're looking at this for. We're looking at this for the other part. Lo yirchotz lo yosef. This domino lo tefillah shel mitzvah. Okay, so you won't take a shower for a month. But what happens if you have to go to the mikvah? You have a tefillah shel mitzvah. Korech ala gemi v'yarid v'tovel. Wrap something on it and then be tovel. Rav Yosef says, nah, you can go into the mikvah normal as long as you don't rub it out. And if the water takes it out, that's fine. So Shain Yasim Dong Vivatim Shwam in Amakumahulo, Sasun Kain, Lashem El Kechem, Asiyu Dasu Gromashari. Says, why does Rav Yosef think it's okay to go into the mikvah? Because it says, Lo Sasun Kain, Lashem El Kechem. The Yisra of Mechikas Hashem is when the Torah tells you should destroy and wipe out every single Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael, lo sasun kein l'Hashem Elokeichem, don't do that to Hashem Elokeichem. Only asiyah is asir. But if it's not asiyah, then it's going to be mutter. If it's only grama, it's mutter. What type of shemesh are we talking about? The Gemara talks about it, I think, if I recall. If it's not Gemara, it's definitely Rishonim. If the ink is dry, I think the Gemara says, if the ink is dry, it's chatzitza. So your tefillah is no good anyway. So the ink has to be wet over here, right? So that's the question. Is that called mechikas Hashem? If you have still wet ink, Gemara talks about in Gittin, if you give a get and the ink hasn't dried yet, is that called v'kasav l'sefer krisus, that you've given her ksav? Or is it only ksav once the ink is dried? So I think Gemara says it's only ksav once the ink is dried. So if it's only ksav once the ink is dry, then how come when you're going into the mikvah while the ink is still wet, it would even be gram mechikas Hashem? L'chara shouldn't be mechika at all, because there's no ksav to begin with. It's difficult to understand what's going on, this Gemara. But I don't know what the answer to that is, so we're not going to focus too much on that. You know, it's like whenever the Rebbe doesn't know, it's not our topic for now. But just the fact that the Gemara says gram, that gram mechika is mutter. So if gram mechika is mutter, what's going on in our Gemara? Why does David Amel think that this is a mechika problem? Yeah? You want to say something? So, it's kedai to look that the Yehuda has a tshuva in Yardaya Tinyana, Simon Yud Zayin. Gotta be more organized about where my marmakovos are. What number is it? Come on, it's in here. Where? Oh, it's next source. Yeah, that's great. I'm not good at this. Number 5? Yeah, there it is. So Nadavid writes, Nasati alibi la'ayein im yesh iser begrama l'mechikas Hashem. So I want to discuss this topic, whether there's an Indian of Gram Mechikas Hashem. And he starts off, Shabbos Tav Kuf Chav, Tevila Shal Mitzvah, Asiyu Dasu Gram Ashari. And the Gemara's maskan over there is that everyone holds Gram Ashari. This is, they argue whether Tevila Bizman a Mitzvah, and And the whole issue was that you're standing naked in front of the Shem Hashem if you have to be tovel. That's all Isser. But Grum is for sure mutter. But then he suggests a chiddush, and this maybe we'll start with next time, where he says, "Afal pikeni shlomer del shari grama el tvila shel mitzvah." Then maybe it's only mutter for dvar mitzvah. So he's going to bring rayas to that, and then we're going to have to see how that maybe connects to our sugya. And it's dafka got to be for dvar mitzvah that grama chik shem is mutter. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem tomorrow, Rabbi Levin is going to give shiur, I think, on a different topic, but we're going to move on now to another view next time on Wednesday. Not Yehuda, Avnei Nezer. A lot to talk about the Gram Achikas Hashem. What to do if the teacher writes the Shem Hashem on the board? Whoops! Now what do you do? Right, that's a Shaila the post can deal with also related to Gram Achikas Hashem. As Hashem, we'll get to it.